From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 2013 in a vacant lot in Rochester's Josana neighborhood. The area is one of the most impoverished parts of Rochester, but this particular lot on Smith Street was about to undergo a transformation. Armed with dirt, seeds, gardening tools, a group of young adults got to work, and they planted a flower garden. And as it grew, so did their skill sets and their job opportunities for the future. Years later, that garden continues to thrive, and so does the program through which it was created. Green Visions at Greentopia is a workforce development program for young people, age 18 to 21, who are out of work, out of school, perhaps disengaged, and looking for a better future. Green Visions participants work together. They grow flowers, they cut them according to professional standards, they deliver them to places like Wegmans, Hearts, and the public market. And many participants begin the program without any kind of work experience, but when they graduate, they leave with a resume, training, certifications, and confidence that they need to find their next opportunity. That program has graduated roughly 50 young adults since the pilot year. It's caught the attention of the Workforce Development Institute, which is a statewide nonprofit that works to grow and keep jobs in New York State. It chose Green Visions as one of 10 programs to highlight in a new documentary called Piece of the Dream about the lives of workers across the state. Now, you can see that film next week in Rochester. This hour, we're going to get a preview, and we're going to talk about the state of workforce development in New York and why programs like Green Visions are helping to close unemployment gaps there and job training in our area. I'd like to welcome our guests here, and Morgan Berry is a guy I bump into once in a while for coffee, and it's good to, I saw you on the bridge this summer, I see you getting coffee, and it's nice to see you in the studio. He's the director of the Green Visions program at Greentopia. So finally, we're doing it.
Yeah, took a while, but you know,
got here. We're here, good to have you. And Tiani Jennings, I also met at dinner on the bridge for Greentopia, site manager for the Green Visions program. Tiani, welcome, nice to have you here in studio.
Welcome, thanks for having me.
And David Miller is a graduate of the Green Visions program at Greentopia. We'll be learning about David's experience. Welcome, David, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Bob Trowski is director of field services for the Workforce Development Institute. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And also with us back in studio is John Primo, director of community and business services for Rochester Works. John, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
It's a lot to talk about, and next Friday, September 21st, so 8 days from now, at the Arbor Loft on Pitkin Street. It's the Piece of the Dream film premiere and celebration. And Morgan, I know you're excited for people to hear these stories. Why don't you give us a little preview of what's coming up next week?
Yeah, so next week is really, it's the Rochester premiere of the Piece of the Dream documentary, which was put together by a team called Youth FX out of Albany. They took a tour of Rochester, of Buffalo, of Albany, all over the state to just see what was going on in workforce development and community activism. And they stopped by Rochester, and Tiani and I gave them a tour of Josana, introduced them to a couple of our graduates. And we're really excited to just show the film, celebrate this year's cohort, and have a drink with the people that support us. And we're excited for the event on next Friday.
Next Friday, September 21st, about 7 to 10. Tickets are just a suggested donation of about $10. And you can learn more. Check out Greentopia and Green Vision's Facebook page. There's Eventbrite. You can get ticket information. It's all there.
Yeah, everything is up on the Greentopia website as well.
All right, very good. So that is 8 days from now. And Bob Trowski, you're going to learn a little bit about Green Visions this hour here, because workforce development, you got hands all over the state, I know. And I think it's important for our listeners to understand exactly what the Workforce Development Institute is and what the mission is. Why don't you give us
sure,
a sense?
Sure, thanks for asking.
Yeah.
We're a nonprofit statewide organization. There's about 32 of us, and our headquarters is in the Capital Region, both Troy and Albany. We have a Rochester location. And our regional director, Lynn Freed, she's responsible for 11 different counties. So we actually have 10 Lynn Freeds, if you will, around the state. And one of the things we charge our regional directors with is to interface with a variety of different groups. They could be economic developers, they could be workforce boards, like John is with, actually Lynn's on one of the boards. But it's to really get a pulse of what's going on within those 11 counties. So it's no coincidence that Morgan brings and mentions 10 different locations across the state. Each one of the regional directors came up with an idea potentially for Youth FX going across the state. And Green Visions, this was the program that Lynn thought she had worked with the program. The WDI was able to assist with some of our funding. But our true mission, that's part of the mission, is really to gather information on the workforce. We call it boots on the ground. During the course of a year, we probably go into over 1,000 different companies, nonprofits, community groups. And what we're doing is gathering real-time information on some of the workforce needs, maybe some of the gaps that they have. Then with that, we also bring an expertise with our regional staff. They come in, they offer potential solutions. Some of those solutions may be pulling different groups in to be able to assist based on information that they know with prior companies, prior organizations they work with, also with their colleagues around the state, the 9 other regional people. And then we also have funding where we can help fill gaps. With Green Visions, we were able to assist with funding. I believe we assisted helping purchase a van. We helped fund some of the training. So that's truly our mission, is to try to help companies and organizations have a workforce, a ready supply. They want to upgrade their workers. We can assist with that. So that's what we do. Lynn does a tremendous job. And we have, like I said, 9 other people like Lynn around the state.
And I'd love to hear from Bob and John your thoughts, given your various backgrounds, understanding the workforce, training, the state of the economy. You know, journalists are always looking for numbers. What's the unemployment rate? And politicians will use numbers if they think they are beneficial, and they will sort of paper over the numbers if they don't. Right now, of course, the White House is talking a lot about a national unemployment rate and a national number. But I think it's going to be instructive to at least hear from you. If you really want to know how is, you know, sort of the state of the economy, are people working, are people who want to be working, are they finding jobs? How do we measure that most effectively? I'll start with you, Bob.
Very briefly, this would be a report that we put together for the Finger Lakes region. And we've developed a very robust, what we feel, a robust database where the information, these 1,000 companies that our regional directors are going out to, they're gathering real-time information. It goes into a database. So just to give you an example, in the last year, of the companies that Lynn went into, 120, in a year and a half, 120 manufacturers were profiled in her 11 counties that she went in, met with, and gathered information. 96% are predicting some or significant growth. 96%. 94% are expecting hiring new employees. And the median turnover is 3%. So this is just some of the information that she's gathering. I started with the WDI in 2007. I had a career at General Motors. I was able to retire from there. And when we first started, if you remember the recession, 2008, 2009.
Well, you started at a fascinating time, yeah.
Everybody was shedding jobs. What we're finding now is employers cannot find people with the skills that they require. Now, we were talking prior, some employers may have requirements that exclude people, like a high school diploma, a driver's license. Sometimes that's needed, but what's really needed are the skills for the people to adequately and proficiently do the job. And we try, in many instances, help employers develop a pipeline program where the people can get the required skills and get hired. And we have examples all across the state of projects that we've worked with.
Okay. John, how do you measure whether the economy is really working for people who want to be working?
Well, I think, you know, what's interesting—
And do me a favor, get right on that microphone there, John. Yep.
You know, what we have is Rochester Works operates the American Job Centers in our local community. The County of Monroe actually receives the funds, and we administer it and act as a fiduciary for those funds. And so we operate these centers, and they're universal in nature, so anybody and everybody can walk into the centers and seek assistance and so forth. So we have the two basic customer bases. We have the job seeker, who was looking for employment. And then we have employers where we help to kind of promote and make the community aware of the opportunities that are available through them. And right now, I can say we actually have a couple of mechanisms that we utilize to post positions and make people aware. Most notably on our website, we have a job listings page. All of that information is information that we've garnered or gathered from employers that have come to us and or we've reached out to provide them with that information. All of that information gets pumped into a larger system, which is operated by New York State, and that breaks down locally, regionally, and statewide, and so forth. And right now, you just have an overwhelming number of job opportunities that are posted and available both locally and in our region. And yet we still have an overwhelming number of job seekers that are coming in and seeking the assistance. And so one of the things that we attempt to do is provide them with the information, provide them with advisement, provide them with resources and dollars at some level to potentially seek, job training, skill training to help fill some of the gaps. Because I think what we see locally is that there are a lot of people looking, but there seems to be that disconnect, whether it's the criteria that the businesses are putting on the positions, whether it's a specific skill gap. I think manufacturing is a good example. Manufacturing is one of the in-demand occupations in our local area, and yet we see all of these layoffs from time to time, and so it's confusing information to folks in the community, to job seekers. And so our job, part of what we do at Rochester Works, is really help to promote those opportunities for the businesses, and also work with the job seekers to ensure that they have the skill sets or the interests that are necessary to fill those opportunities.
All right, so let's get a sense for this program that got selected as just one of 10. Morgan Berry, who's the director of the Green Visions program, Tiani Jennings, site manager. It goes back to 2013, but how? What started this in the first place? How did this come to be?
Well, Green Visions was initially started as a phytoremediation project for Greentopia, demonstration project, as well as a workforce development project. And we hired 8 girls to work on one vacant lot. And we worked through the summer, and we realized we have a product that we can sell, right? And we were actually getting our youth jobs. And so what we found at the end of our first year is that we had a really effective workforce development program that we really needed investment in to move forward. And we got that investment. And then year two, we doubled the number of kids we were able to hire, the number of lots we were able to work on. And then in year three, we were able to really step up the professionalism of the product that we were creating to sell at places like Wegmans and the public market and Hearts. And so with all those things working together, we were able to expand further to a place now that we're on 4 vacant lots and actually graduated over 65 kids from our program at this point, looking to graduate.
My numbers are out of date.
Yeah, well, stats. That's what happens with stats, right? it's a really effective workforce development program that was born out of Greentopia wanting to engage with and work with the neighborhood that we're in. And it's a program that's built to work on the neighborhood scale. So you look at a neighborhood like Josana where there's not a lack of vacant lots. There's not a lack of youth in need of work experience, and there's not a lack of people looking for a job. And so we're hitting on all the things that the community would identify as goals for themselves. And so that's why we're able to so effectively work in the neighborhood that we do and have the successes that we do, because it's easy to buy in when you're working where you live and making a demonstrable difference and picking up skills that are relatable. If you can make 50 bouquets and your first looks like your 50th, that is manufacturing. That's quality control. Now, a manufacturing job might say you would need a high school diploma to do that job, but is that really true? Is that a self-imposed criteria? Are we really working towards fixing the problem, or are we working towards finding needles in the haystacks for these?
Can I sidetrack for 1 second? Because I want to piggyback off something that Bob brought up, which is the question on what it means, and I think this is a theme that we will explore more in this hour, what it means when employers are saying they can't find people to match their criteria for the jobs. Right. And certainly, if there is significant training involved that people haven't had, you understand, or some sort of educational background. But if it is a driver's license, if it is a high school diploma, are we excluding too many people right now?
Honestly, I would say yes. To be perfectly honest, you look at the gap between people able to find jobs, and you look at the employers being able to find employees, and if both sides are saying that they can't meet their needs, you know, how can we get to that middle ground? That's the that's where we need to be.
Okay, so we'll get back to that question on matching up, you know, the supply and demand, mm-hmm. and getting people into the jobs where there are job openings, which, again, you're hearing from John Primo, you're hearing from Bob Trowski that there are jobs open. This is not 2008. This is not 2009. But let's kind of pursue the story. So Morgan and Tiani, why don't you kind of give us a sense for what it looks like all throughout the summer? You guys are, your season really with Green Visions goes when to when? Tiani?
It goes from about the beginning of April to the 1st of October.
Okay, so you're getting ready to wrap up here.
Yes.
And people go through the program. They go through it for really the season, the summer, and they graduate, right? They're known as graduates.
Yes.
Okay, how many this year?
15.
So you got 15. What's an average day look like? What's it look like out there?
Average day is our team show up. We split our day into two shifts, so half of our team shows up in the morning. After our team shows up in the morning, we get started there. Usually Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays are preparing for our bouquets. So that's the things we do in the mornings of that. Afternoon, we fulfill some of our contracts and partnerships that we have and do some maintenance around the garden.
When people start in April, how much experience do they have putting together bouquets?
Zero.
Yeah. Well, that's most of us, right?
Yes.
And what's that process like, you know, for someone who's coming in, who's starting out work, doing something they've never done before? What's the process like with Green Visions getting people sort of trained up on how to do this?
Leading by example, working hand in hand with them, helping however we can to get them to a place where they're comfortable with carrying out the duties of the day.
And how quickly are they able to sort of do most of the work without stopping to ask questions?
Fairly quickly. Our team usually picks up things very fast. Our work is, what we tend to learn is there's not really that much hard work to it. It is just that, you know, you learn the goals of what you're doing and how to do what you do, and then it becomes really simple after that.
I'm in year five here. There's still all kinds of systems on this floor. I have no clue.
Right.
Thank God there's Juan Vasquez and Megan Mack and Veronica Volk and people who can bail me out. So those skills, so they learn them. They're producing, as Morgan said, kind of an almost like an assembly line. If your first bouquet is like your 50th, that's consistency. That's quality control. How many will they produce throughout the summer? How many total bouquets are you guys doing?
Oof. So about a week, we pump out close to 100 with just our Wegmans orders, our public market orders, and occasionally we have special orders like weddings and different things like that. So the number does vary.
Where am I going to find these, by the way? People are hearing this. They're going to want to find Green Visions bouquets.
East Ave Wegmans, Eastway Wegmans, and Pittfield Wegmans, as well as every Saturday morning at the market and our garden. Please feel free to always come by our garden and pick your own bouquet.
Yeah, 797 Smith Street, prettiest garden in Rochester, New York.
Who's funding this program? I mentioned Workforce Development Institute has been there for you. I know you had a summer fundraiser. We were out at dinner on the bridge, and you had a lot of generous people who want to help. But generally, is it kind of an amalgam of you get funding private donations here, or is it a primary source?
Well, that's the reality of running a program like ours, is you're not going to find the golden goose that's going to fund the whole program for you. It's, you know, you have consistent funders like the Golisano Foundation who will pay for us to employ 3 developmentally disabled youth every year. You have the Daisy Markey Jones Foundation, who is very forthcoming in their support and have been since the very beginning. And then you have private donations. You have garden clubs like the Rochester Garden Club, the Allen's Creek Garden Club. And it's just a little bit here, a little bit there. And what our program has worked towards is not being totally dependent on foundation money. So when we're talking about selling bouquets, we're talking about bringing money into our program so that we don't have to ask for that money. Mm-hmm. When we have a landscaping contract partnering with Habitat for Humanity, that's bringing in money to our program so that we have to ask for less. And our goal is to obviously work towards sustainability, but it's always going to take the support of private citizens, foundations, organizations as a whole, and that's how we get to our final budget.
April to October is not a long time in the span of a lifetime, Morgan. So that chunk of time, you're working with people, 15 people this year. Mm-hmm. What are they going to take with them? What is your vision for what happens in their lives when they're done in October?
Well, our goal is to get our graduates working or in school, right? And so our vision is really supporting what our graduates want to do moving forward. We don't try and pigeonhole somebody into becoming a landscaper for life. What we're trying to do is instill soft skills in them and also pass along or have them earn certifications like the OSHA, like the EPA, things that will make them more employable. And then when they identify their goal, whether it's like David, who likes working with youth and is employed with the city of Rochester, working at rec centers while he's going to college, that's a success story for us. Whether it's somebody who wants to go into CNA to become something, you know, working with patients, then that's something that we can help direct them towards. It's passing along soft skills and getting people comfortable working every day and then supporting our youth to get them to a place where they're moving on.
We're going to get David's story in just a second. Are there other success stories, Tiani, Morgan, that come to mind? Do you think about graduates? Have you in touch with some of them about what they're doing?
I mean, we have 65 at this point. You know, they're all specific and different. And to say, you know, we have people come by on a daily basis. Like, David lives around the corner from the lot. We have somebody who is currently working in manufacturing and wants to go to barber school. We have somebody who's working for Monroe County, working at a nursing home. There are countless examples, and we're proud of each and every one of them. I don't want to start naming people off.
I mean,
it's an hour-long show.
Tiani, you agree?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It is a wide diversity. Some of our participants have left and are enrolled in college and, you know, have jobs on top of that. And there's others that's focused on GED and others that's focused on you know, gaining some more experience, things like that. So, yeah, there is a wide range of success stories.
I want to get David Miller's story. He's a graduate of the Green Visions program at Greentopia. And, David, again, you were there in the summer of what year?
I was there throughout the summer of 2015.
2015.
Yes.
How did you hear about it?
Well, actually, Morgan, me and a bunch of my friends were sitting on my porch, and Morgan came to my gate, and he had this flyer, and he was like, if anybody needs a job, you can come interview with me at this time. But I was working at the rec center already, so it just conflicted with the times for me. But three of my friends actually went to the interviews, and Morgan hired them, and they were talking about how good of an experience it was and how much they learned. Because at first when we heard about it and he was telling us that we were going to be gardening and making bouquets and things like that, that was nothing that we were interested in at 16 and 17 years old. But after they had a good experience the next summer, me and one of my other friends, we went to interview and Morgan hired us, and we had a good experience. So we try to keep cycling it. Like at the rec center, I build connections with the kids. That's why I like doing it. So every time the summer comes around, everybody's looking for a job. And I try to send as many of them over to interview with Morgan as I can.
Now, you grew up here in Rochester.
Yes.
And when you were, sitting on the porch that day, you were already working at a rec center, you said,
yes,
when Morgan rolled up the first time. But were you thinking about what you wanted to do? And did you feel like you had a path, a plan for your future?
Yes, actually.
You did.
I was already on track. I was already graduating, and I was already on track to go to college. I just didn't know which college I wanted to go to. And then I ended up picking at Monroe Community College to save money. So I wanted to be a lawyer. That was my pathway. That's my pathway. And when I was doing the program, Morgan and Tiani, they were great mentors. Like, I used them as references still for jobs and things like that on my resume. Like, I put Green Visions first. I like how they handled the program and how they helped us. They always would push us forward and keep throwing. They would have other jobs come to the lot while we were working to see how we work, to introduce us to it, you know, put a name, a face to a name, and tell us that we can get hired at those jobs.
Can you make a mean bouquet?
At first, when we were at the public market, because we make them fresh for people in front of us, nobody really was buying my bouquets, and I was kind of sad about it. But Tiani and Morgan said, "You won't get it on your first try. It was your first bouquet." And then, as the summer digressed, I started making good bouquets, and they started selling out. So yeah,
how'd that feel?
It felt great. It felt great seeing your hard work pay off like that. Cause we started when every summer they start off with dirt, so we had to plant the seeds, make the flower beds, everything. So after seeing the flowers shoot up like that and then bringing them to the public market, and then going to Wegmans even while we weren't at work and seeing our flowers sell out like that. Like one time, a lady, because we have to stock the flowers at Wegmans, so a lady bought one of the bouquets out of our hands while we were putting the bouquets up in Wegmans. So it felt real good.
How will that experience with Green Visions help you in your life going forward?
Well, it teaches you a lot of camaraderie. You get to build connections. You always will remember the things that you do there, like having the punctuality skills, soft skills, talking to people at the public market, and just, you know, being there for somebody.
Yeah, you know, there's this, I think, a struggle that some people have in just seeing themselves. I think we talked last hour about the way educational structures, systems sometimes are limiting.
Yeah.
And if people are growing up and not seeing a lot of opportunity, it's hard to figure out, is there a path for me, whether it's college, whether it's work. Do you think about people you grew up with? Do you worry about kids who are growing up in neighborhoods you grew up in, thinking about whether they can see themselves working?
Well, my neighborhood, it's not really a lot of people that want to have real jobs. And that's another reason why I want to become a lawyer and why I work at the Rex and I tell people about Green Visions, because if you just stay out where you're staying all the time, you could never retire from that. You could never have a good, stable life or foundation off of that. So when I think about my neighborhood and the people that I grow up around, I try to talk to them all the time, and I try to be an example myself as being able to grow up in the same environment, hanging out with the same people, used to doing the same things, but I'm not doing the same things anymore. And you can tell, and you can show them better than you can tell them. So if they see I feel like if they see me doing good and they always telling me how I'm doing good, they'll want to change and do the same thing.
Morgan, what will it take to grow Green Visions? I mean, is it just a matter of funding? I mean, would you grow now if you could? Are you roughly where you want to be?
Oh, we could grow.
Tiana and Morgan look at each other with big smiles.
Yeah, I mean, we get approached all the time to start up in a new neighborhood, and it's not that simple. Right? Because you need another Tiani on site for the full time. You need money. The reason Green Visions works as well as it does, because we're paying our participants. You know what I mean? So it's this, somebody can say, okay, we have this plot of land, you should come plant a garden on it. Okay, well, that's a great idea. But there are a lot of community gardens in the city of Rochester that don't look particularly good. And that's because they don't have the people there working every day. They don't have the long-term maintenance plan, and they're not having the community investment. And that's really what it takes. I mean, we would love to be in every quadrant of the city of Rochester, and I can envision that happening.
I want to get a phone call from someone who picked up flowers from Green Visions for a wedding. This is Noreen on the phone. Go ahead, Noreen.
I wanted to say, Morgan's right, that is the most beautiful garden in the city. Its flowers are stunning, and it's full of butterflies and bees and smiling faces. And the flowers I picked up were gorgeous. They were zinnias and snapdragons and some other odds and ends, and everything was ready and perfectly packaged. And the staff helped me figure out how I was going to transport everything to the wedding, and I couldn't say enough about them, that everything was fantastic.
Oh, well, thanks for saying that. Thanks, Noreen.
Awesome, Noreen. Thank you, by the way. And Noreen, where did you get yours?
Where did I get what?
Where did you get the actual bouquet?
Oh, I made them with the flowers from Green Vision.
Oh, with Green Vision.
Yes, you picked them up straight from the lot.
Oh, very good. Well, thank you, Noreen. So you probably love stories like that, but you probably hear that all the time.
Yeah, well, we love to hear it because people, you know, we grow these flowers from seeds, you know, like we start a lot of our flowers working in the greenhouse at Edison Tech, working with the special needs class in February, you know, and we plant a lot of our flowers directly in the ground in April and May. So then to see people appreciate them and use them for their weddings or their graduation parties or even funerals, you know, it's a source of pride for us because we're able to, you know, inject a little bit of life and color and beauty into people's lives. And we do hear it all the time, but we can never hear it enough.
How do you, David kind of briefly described you just, you know, three, four years ago, just walking up, seeing some people on a porch saying, hey, if anybody wants work, how do you do that now? How do you find people to fill the roles at Green Visions?
Same way.
Same way?
Yeah, Tiani and I will walk up and down J Street, Child Street, Smith Street, any street to just engage with people that look like they could use an opportunity. If they're on the block at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're not in school, right? And we also engage with our community partners to help them identify. And when that happens, it's somebody like a Rochester Works who we go to. Antoine Williams over at Rochester Works will make sure that our flyer goes far and wide. Center for Youth will send us candidates. Edison Tech will provide us with candidates of special needs youth who they see as good fits for our program. They come from all directions, but our goal is to hire from the neighborhood. And that's really, I think, one of the reasons our program is so effective is we're hiring youth who live in the immediate area. And so that it really does take Tiani walking up and down the street and just walking up to somebody and saying, hey, what are you doing right now? Could you use a job? Do you need an opportunity?
Yeah, and this is where Tiani, I think, what David's experience is, it's important for, I think, all of us to really listen and try to absorb it because there are stereotypes. You know, when David is not describing, at least in my mind, not describing people who wouldn't find great dignity or value in work or wouldn't want really want to work if they only get the opportunity or understand that the opportunity could be there. But again, when you're growing up in a really sort of limited space and you see what you see, sometimes it's hard to see yourself outside of that environment or doing other things. What do you see? You know, what are some of the dynamics you see when you talk to people and you talk about, do you want to work and what's this all about? What are those conversations like?
So I grew up right in that neighborhood myself. And so when a lot of people I know or have seen around and things like that, and others I haven't. And when they see somebody young and, you know, from that neighborhood and walking up to them, asking them about a, you know, an opportunity they could potentially take advantage of, it's like, most people tend to take to it. They're like, oh, okay, well, tell me a little more. Then I, you know, get to explain in the program and how it can benefit and, you know, the different things of how they can benefit us as well as how we can benefit them. And we just go from there. We go have them come in for an interview. They come in for the interview. We get a better feel of, you know, what are their goals? Where, you know, what is their background? You know, how can we help? And things like that. And just give the opportunity to the ones who can definitely benefit from it. It's always a hard decision. We get so many applicants, and it's so many people that can definitely use that opportunity. But we do very well. We just we put together a good team every summer and get the work done.
Yeah, and just to echo the stereotypes point of view, we interview 40 kids for 15 positions every year, easy. We could have hired 30 kids for the summer, easy, just from work, just from going around the neighborhood that we're in. And it's a stereotype a lot of times that maybe their youth are totally disengaged because David and his friends, although they were sitting on the front porch and that's where I caught them, they're in college and they were looking for work. And somebody that comes to a job interview is obviously looking for work. And so to be able to provide an opportunity for somebody in that neighborhood, so transportation is not an issue, that's huge.
All right, so let's get our only break of the hour. We'll come back and we'll ask John Primo from Rochester Works and Bob Trowski, Director of Field Services for the Workforce Development Institute, about some of this question on connecting people to the jobs out there. We have an email from a listener who wanted to know, what are the jobs that are open? What are we seeing that is available? We'll talk more about that. We'll talk about the process of just maybe it's taking that first step and trying to figure out how do I go down this road. So John and Bob will help with that. And from Green Visions, the program at Greentopia, Morgan Berry, Tiani Jennings, David Miller, telling us all about this program that has now graduated 65 people since, Morgan's saying 65 since opening 5 years ago. Let's get that break. Come right back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on the next Connections, the College at Brockport and the Brockport Central School District are partnering on a new opportunity. It's called the Diversity Certification Program. But how does it work, and what is the mission? We'll find out all about it first hour. Second hour, Larry Sharp joins us in studio, the Libertarian Party candidate for governor of New York. Talk with you Friday. Welcome back to Connections. John and Bob had big smiles on their faces listening to not only David's story, but hearing about some of the impacts. And John, during our brief break from Rochester Works, was saying, you know, you hear a lot of stories like this, you know, that first step forward, that learning some of these skills. You know, you heard David talking about understanding everything from not just how to build a bouquet, but punctuality and the day-to-day expectations. And you kind of had a knowing smile on your face, John. Why is that?
Well, actually, a big part of what Rochester Works does every summer is we partner along with the County of Monroe and the City of Rochester to provide young people many times with their first experience. And so to listen to these folks, you know, listen to them talk about sharing the opportunity, the exposure, the experience that they got, you know, we think about, you know, that's every young person. I don't care where you come from, what neighborhood, what background or what have you. Every young person needs to have that initial experience. And when you can have that experience in a productive, constructive, supportive environment, how cool is that? I mean, we see that every year. We just had a breakfast that celebrated the Summer Youth Employment Program, and Morgan mentioned Antoine Williams. He's the director of our youth system, and he convened that along with the city and the county, and you heard these young people come up, as well as their worksite supervisors and so forth, just talking about that initial engagement, that initial experience. And you know, we talk about the soft skills. I mean, I think many employers now refer to it as essential skills. You know, you're learning all of that. Young people learn that, you know, in programs, in opportunities like that, or like what we hear today with Green Visions and so forth. So when you think about it, you defeat the battle. I mean, you win the battle when you provide young people with these experiences early on. I think almost sometimes we wait too long. Our program at Rochester Works, we typically serve youth between 14 and 24. And it's necessary. It's good. It's for all young people. But when you look at when you can actually engage that young person when they're still engaged in school, and they're getting these positive experiences, now all of a sudden they make the connection, they understand why I need to be here, why I need to get my degree, why I need to look at and explore, you know, pathways or opportunities that are available, you know, whether it's being a lawyer or whether it's, you know, working as a florist. I mean, you know, how cool is that? And then the other neat thing is that through Rochester Works and many of the partners, and I think, you know, Green Visions is an example of this, is that you can engage young people even beyond that. And so whether you're in school, out of school, we want you to be a part of the economy. That's what's going to help to meet the needs and the demands that the businesses have. And so if there's an opportunity like this that can re-engage young people, whether they're sitting on their porches, whether they're in the street, whether they walk into a career center or what have you, that's what we need to have in our community to be robust and to help, you know, fill the gaps, fill the needs that we have in business.
So, John, take me through what would happen for the 15 or so who couldn't get the job at Green Vision. I mean, Morgan Berry saying, you know, you interviewed 40 for 15 spots. You easily could have hired 30 if you really had the funding. And who knows? Maybe somebody listening right now is going to go drop off a check on Morgan's lap if he's got his fingers crossed and grow this program. It's the same kind of question that a program like Teen Empowerment has, one of the best programs in the city, and would grow if the funding is there. But there are some limitations. So, John, what happens when one of those 15 who really could have got, you know, could have spent the summer doing the work with Green Visions just wasn't a space for them? So they go to Rochester Works, and they say, "Well, I didn't get the work through Greentopia, Green Visions, but I'm interested. What's out there? What's that process like for them then, John?"
Well, what's really neat in that specific instance is that Rochester Works receives some funding that provides us support for what we call youth navigators. We actually work with partners, other organizations in and around the county that help to support young people, most notably those older, out-of-school youth that are, in this case, serious and interested in getting engaged and getting a credential, whether it be, you know, going back to school, you know, learning an in-demand occupational type of credential, what have you. And so with Rochester Works, and Morgan mentioned, like, the Center for Youth is a good example. We actually provide funding to them, and they actually have these youth navigators, as do other organizations, that will actually work with individuals in those instances, bring them in, provide that advocacy, that counseling, that advisement, help to re-engage them, again, whether it be going back to school, whether it be getting a credential or what have you. And what's really kind of cool, too, is through the funding, we're able to, over the last couple of years, we've actually ramped up what we call work experiences. So if you think of as a young person, an internship. So a young person is able to go out and apply to what their interest is, apply their skill set, gain some experience. And as you're doing this through these programs, working with these youth navigators, now all of a sudden you are creating that portfolio, you're creating that background, very similar to what they're doing at Green Visions. By going through the program, you're developing a credential, you're having a resume, you're learning how to network, you're developing all those essential skills that employers say they're looking for. So now when you go out and look for employment, now all of a sudden you are more marketable, you're more approachable, and quite frankly, I think businesses would love the opportunity to engage and talk with young people that come to them with this skill set.
Before I turn back to Bob Trowski, John, remind listeners where to find Rochester Works if they want to find you.
You can find us online at www.rochesterworks.org. You can also go to any of our two full-service career centers. We have one on Waring Road and one on North Goodman. And we actually have a center located in the Department of Human Services on St. Paul as well.
Bob, let's talk a little bit about what you've seen in terms of what's out there. You know, you mentioned the big difference between when you go to the Institute like you did, what, in 2007 vis-a-vis today. I mean, obviously the economy is in a totally different position. 11 years ago, things were really starting to kind of fall in on itself. And now it's different. When did we see the real shift? When was the first time you remember thinking, boy, there are a lot of jobs that people, you know, that employers are having a hard time filling? Was it this year, last year, 5 years ago? When did you really see that?
Well, it's interesting. I remember being at a meeting maybe 15, 20 years ago, and somebody from the Federal Reserve in the Buffalo branch came in and started talking about demographics. And at that time, he was predicting that the United States was going to be approximately 15 to 20 million workers short. And we all looked, and he had charts, and he had a rationale behind it because of birth rate, because of a GDP that would be going up 3%, whatever. And all of a sudden, things slowed down in 2008 as far as that trend line because people started losing their jobs. A lot of people lost their retirements, so they continued to work. But now the gray tsunami has hit. I'm 64 years old. I'm going to be retiring next year. And a lot of people, the baby boomers in my generation, are retiring, and they have not adequately put together a pipeline to be able to fill those jobs. And I think many manufacturers are seeing that now. Many different organizations are seeing that a lot of skills of quality workers they've had for 30 years have gone out the door, and maybe they haven't done a good job preparing the next generation coming in. I want to touch on something that John mentioned as far as internships. That's not only for youth. Employers are willing to do things differently now because they need workers. And if there was a surplus of workers, they would keep doing things the way they had done for years. But because there's a shortage, we're actually working with a program in the Buffalo area. And the way that's set up, we're working with the Erie County Workforce Development Board, which is similar to the one in Monroe County. And they're putting people through 3 days of class every week for 13 weeks in order to get a credential called the CPT, which is Certified Production Technician. And there's four different areas that focuses on. Well, what we did was we engaged a couple employers that the other 2 days a week, they actually go in, work on the job for those 2 days, and we assist paying the people's wages. So that's what the WDI brings to the table. At the end of the 13 weeks, it's totally up to the employers whether the person's hired. From an employer's perspective, they're actually getting a 13-week interview. They're seeing the people's skills. Also, they're seeing their soft skills, the required skills, as John mentioned. But they're coming in with this credential, the CPT. If we had suggested that 5-8 years ago, maybe employers wouldn't be willing to do that. But they are now. Another example, I was just up in Ticonderoga and a large paper mill up there. And they employ about 700 people. They're their dominant employer in the area. And because of the age of the workforce retiring out, they forecast the next 5 years they need at least 50 people a year to replace retirements. And the way they historically have done their training and their onboarding, they started with 106 applications. They ended up with 13 people. So they realized they needed to do something different. So a group of the training providers, the WDI, the community college up there, the IDA, the chamber, they all got together and they put together, it's albeit it's short, it's, I think it's 14 hours of training to assist the people knowing at least some of the skills that are going to be required. That's the immediate problem. But the second phase of that is they're taking the information to the high schools now to try to get the people an awareness of the type of jobs that this paper mill has, as well as the other manufacturers in the area.
When you mentioned manufacturing in this community, you know, it used to obviously be a big three manufacturing town, tens of thousands of jobs in that sector. And now there's almost a cynicism I hear about manufacturing. Manufacturing's dead. Nobody makes anything anymore. When you hear people say that, what do you say?
Well, I can point to all the different manufacturers that require people right now. When the large manufacturers were downsizing, that was actually a boom for a lot of the small guys. Because people,
and what's small employees?
Well, we mostly work with small to medium size, anywhere from 10 to 150.
Okay.
Now, we do work with some of the larger companies, but that's really our niche. They don't have their own training department. They don't actually have people in HR that are looking for different grant possibilities. If there is a grant possibility, they don't want to go through sometimes the cumbersome, laborious paperwork, filling it out on an IFCOM. Well, that's where we go in and we try to assist with the company. We've actually assisted companies bring somebody in to write a grant application for them to be able to assist. But that's kind of when we're dealing with manufacturers, it's small, medium size normally.
Okay. Is that what you see too, John?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's what I tried to allude to earlier is that manufacturing is one of those, my term, an enigma. I mean, you hear about, you know, the challenges that they have, you see layoffs, but, you know, MCC is a great example. They offer some certificate and associate's degree programs around advanced manufacturing. They can, you know, when they have people in those classes, you're talking 95 to 100% placement rates. You know, but the problem is they can't always fill those classes. And so there's definitely a demand. And just to touch on something Bob said, too, that whole succession planning, you know, I think is so important. And I think, you know, to a certain degree, you know, we've taken that for granted, you know, and now it's coming back to kind of bite us. And we really are pulling out all the steps to try to look at all the things that we can do to kind of inform and engage and make people aware that there are decent opportunities out there.
If I could add
sure.
one thing and probably the people that hired me at General Motors wouldn't be happy me saying this, but I got hired in the 70s. And honestly, I was hired for two reasons. I could breathe and I was willing to work overtime. That was the skills that were required then. Be there every day, do the job. It's very, very small component. You did your job and you were willing to be there. I assure you at that same facility that I worked for 30 years, the requirement of the people being hired now, totally different. It's totally different, much more rigorous and much more demanding. But they need to bring a certain skill set in that in my generation we didn't need.
So you've heard this hour about not only kind of the landscape of employment and the efforts that various organizations are putting in to help people understand what's out there, to get trained, to get help. And that happens through everything from Rochester Works, the Workforce Development Institute, Green Visions at Greentopia, which is a Green Vision story as part of a film premiere and celebration 8 days from now, if you want to mark your calendar for next Friday, September 21st, starting at 7 p.m. at the Arbor Loft on Pitkin Street. There are going to be free drinks there, just a $10 suggested donation to get in. If you jump on Greentopia's website, get more information on getting yourself signed up to go see Piece of the Dream, which is a film that, have you seen it yet, Morgan?
My About 100 times at this
point. Just about 100 times?
Yeah, I feel like that's about right.
Okay, so you're pretty excited for people to see it.
Always.
Next week. And I think it'd be valuable to close the hour with this. You heard Tiani mention that, you're a resident of the Josana neighborhood, is that right?
Yes, I was.
And now here you are as a site manager for Green Visions at Greentopia. What do you see as your future? We've talked about all the people you're serving. What about you? What do you want to be doing in 5 years, in 20 years?
In 5 years, I would like to be a registered nurse and working in a hospital. And also, you know, retaining my engagement in the community. So being there for Green Visions, you know, wherever we're at that point in the future, or being there for just, you know, service of the neighbors and different people in the neighborhood. I always want to keep that piece of me, but I also would like to be an RN in the future.
And 30 seconds or so, do you see a path to get that done? Are you on that path? Do you feel like it's within reach?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Morgan's awesome. He's a great supporter. He, I know any, you know, applications I need to apply for college or anything, he'll be there for me, and I'm taking steps. I'm actually doing PCA and trying to level up little by little to get more hands-on experience, and then eventually, very soon, sooner than later, enroll in college from RN.
Now, Tiani, David, I have no doubt that you guys are on the path, and you're going to do what you want to do, and I really wish you all the best. Tiani, thank you for being here, sharing your story, telling the Green Vision story, and for the work you do. You heard from happy customers this hour, too, so you guys are doing great stuff. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Tiani Jennings, the site manager for the Green Visions program at Greentopia. David Miller is a graduate. And thank you for sharing your story, David. Great having you here.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Our thanks to Morgan Berry, director of the Green Visions program at Greentopia. Have fun next Friday sharing Peace of the Dream, and thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And our thanks as well to John Primo from Rochester Works. John, thank you very much.
Thanks for including
us. Nice to see you. And our thanks to Bob Trowski, Director of Field Services for the Workforce Development Institute, for coming in today. Thank you, Bob. Much appreciated.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Rob Braden is the engineer of this broadcast. Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon, and we'll talk to you Friday on member-supported public radio.